5, Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to start off at. It's a little bit of a challenging message in my mind because there's so much I want to cover, but I know no one wants to be here all day also. I know some people are like, hey, preach as long as you want. And others are thinking, when he says that, that scares me. So we're looking at this thought about how to be thankful. And we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights for the last 5 Wednesday nights. And we're going to kind of do a little bit of reviewing some of the stuff, but also pull this all together with this thought, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Now, if you found your spot in the Bible, Ephesians chapter number 5, grab a hymn book in front of you and look up page number 54 for the song, Count Your Blessings. We don't do hymn stories very often during a church service per se, especially on a Sunday morning, but each of the stories of these hymns that were written, there's an author there, and many times they have a cool story or a story that at least is inspirational that teaches us what they were thinking when the story was written. Page number 54 is, you say, well, that sounds a little bit familiar, count your blessings. We sing the first verse of it every single service this year because it's part of our theme when we're talking about the word blessed this year in 2023, blessed. And the idea, number one, when we think about being blessed, most people tie that into physical blessings, and we are truly blessed, especially those living in America. We have so much, have so many different things that we can be thankful for, and also spiritual blessings. So most people think of the word blessed that way, but we've looked at it 3 different ways this year. Number one, the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings, and God gives us all those spiritual blessings he talks about in Ephesians 1:3. But then we also talk about the blessed life and the idea that we are living a life that God can bless. That's important. There is a certain life that God blesses. And we went through the Beatitudes. We've had a great time with those. And then we also look at blessing the Lord. And that's kind of when we come around full circle about our job is to bless the Lord. Our job is to praise the Lord. Over and over in the Bible, especially in the Psalms, bless the Lord. We looked at the Psalm recently. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Talking about all of us, not just our lips, but with our heart. We don't want hypocrisy. There's been enough hypocrisy in the world today, enough hypocrisy in churches today. We need Christians that are sincere, Christians that love the Lord, and it just overflows out of it. And it's not just something we do with our mouth when we praise the Lord. It's all that is within me, every part of me. I want to bless the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. This story about count your blessings. You see at the in the left, the name, the top left, Johnson Oatman. And Johnson Oatman, he was known, he was probably somewhere around, he was born in 1856. His father was an excellent singer. You ever had something that your parents were really good at and you weren't as good at? That's what this guy Johnson's name was. He loved singing, but he wasn't as talented as his father. He joined the church at 19. A few years later, he was granted a license to preach the gospel. And for many years, he served as a local preacher, filling in when people had needs. Beyond his preaching ministry, Oatman worked in the business world. With his father passing, he took over his family's assurance business. He's remembered today not for his wealth, but instead for the mighty hymns he composed. In 1897, Oatman's most influential hymn, Count Your Blessings, was published in the Hymnals for Young People. It became an immediate sensation. And this hymn has served as a great reminder over the years about all the things that God has done. Look what it says in verse number 1. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord have done. If you will take time to focus on the Lord and praise the Lord, what praising the Lord does, it gets you in the right perspective. It gives you the right focus. And we're going to look at that a little bit. But also, look what it says in verse number 2. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? And the answer is yes. We live in a world that is broken, a world that is sinful, a world that does not care about others many times, a world that many times hates and opposes the things of God. And that will cause a world of care to become upon us as believers trying to serve the Lord. The Bible says if we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. It says, does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Verse number 3, when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ have promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. And it's referring to around here that, yes, we're physically blessed, but if our focus on what God is going to do, even if those physical blessings are taken away, we have a reason to count our blessings and still praise the Lord. Last verse, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort, guide you to your journey's end. So it's the encouragement to count your blessings. Count your blessings. And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. We're going to try to tie the series together. We're still going to talk about it either on Sunday night and Tuesday night as we're finishing it up, but about being thankful. Now, there's an interesting story that I heard a preacher tell. It's a preacher I can trust, and so I think this story has been passed down to him about Johnson Oatman. It says that Johnson Oatman actually had came to a spot in his life that things got kind of dark, even to the point that he was thinking about taking his own life. It says that he went to a desk one day, as the story goes, and he began to think about what he's getting ready to do or considering doing. He says, well, I don't want my family to be overwhelmed by what happened. I want to write down some of the good things. I want to think about some of the good things, so that way they'll know not everything was bad. And it says that as he began to write, he wrote out one page, and he turned it over and wrote out another page about all the blessings in his life. Says he got a second clean piece of paper, wrote them out again, first page, front and back, second page, front and back. Says he did that 4 different times. Then after 4 times, he looked at that list and he says, you know what? I have too much to live for. I have too many good things to live for. I can't take my own life. And it says that at that time, the way the story goes, is that for the first time, he penned down those words, count your many blessings. And he wrote the song. And so when I heard that story, that was a connection that was there. And I thought, wow, if that's the way the story went, that's an amazing testimony. And many times testimonies between these hymns are important to understand the thinking behind them. We have so much to we're blessed in so many ways. And this morning, my desire is for us to be a thankful person, thankful people. Now, I want us to be right with the Lord. That's what our desire should be. He's God. He is the one who's made us. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Look what it says in verse number 20. Probably one of the most difficult verses in all the Bible to live by. Ephesians 5:20. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's difficult about that? Well, look what it says in verse number 20 at the beginning again. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenging thing. I wouldn't have written it that way. Of course, I'm not God. I'm thankful because if I wrote the Bible, I would probably base it off my own opinions and base it off my own feelings, and those feelings change. But God is one who never changes. And he says that we're able to give thanks always for all things unto God. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that this message would be a help and blessing to all that are here and those that are listening or watching online. Lord, that we would walk away being grateful and being thankful. Help us today, Lord. Help us to understand the truths of where thanksgiving really, truly comes from. And Lord, that we will have our focus on you. And as we praise you, Lord, out of a humble heart, but also out of a heart that's rejoicing, we will learn to praise and thank you for all times and all things. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know what most people would say. Pastor, we go to church. Of course we're thankful. And I know most of us, if I would ask you, hey, do you think you're a thankful person? The answer would be, yeah, of course I'm thankful. Some would be insulted, and I've actually insulted people, not on purpose, but in conversations, I've looked at them, and there was issues and problems going on. It says, you're just not thankful. And they're like, I am too thankful, and they want to argue. What's inside our heart comes out. And if our heart is full of nothing but complaining and grumbling, there's something that's missing that's there. And I want to encourage you today, there is a secret of having a happy heart, a happy home. There is a joy that comes from knowing the Lord and a joy from becoming that have the joy of the Lord in your heart and joy of the Lord in your life and your children's lives. And it begins with being thankful. It goes with giving thanks. So you look at this verse in verse number 20, and it says, giving thanks always for all things. How in the world can a person give thanks for always for all things? And it's the next two words, unto God. It's because we can always give thanks for the Lord. We can always give thanks for God. So how do we know what we had to be thankful for? And I know randomly we can begin just spouting off things. And this morning in our children's church, our outreach ministry with our bus, I asked the young people, what is it that you're thankful for? Or what is it, you know, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? And some of them said the food. Some of them said spending time with family and friends. Some said listening to people praise the Lord. And there was all different things. I said, when I was your age, the thing I was most thankful for was I got out of school for a few days. It wasn't that, you know, the food wouldn't be there if you didn't get to stay home. And they thought about that. And that's true. But we can always be thankful for a God who loves us, who is merciful to us, who is kind to us. Yes, he is just, and we're thankful for his justness. We're thankful for his holiness. But we can always, as the Bible says in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Psalms 107 has written, I believe, four different times the exact same praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If we would learn to praise the Lord, you know what that's going to do? It's going to open up the secret of truly being thankful and being a thanksgiving. There is power in praise. See, praise brings God to our consciousness. When we sit, and it takes time, it takes work to praise. And I'm not talking about us just picking up a hymn book and just singing some songs and we're not even thinking about it. But to take time to meditate on the goodness of the Lord, to take time to meditate on the attributes of the Lord, to take time to understand that his mercy endureth forever. And the fact that the Bible says God is good many a times. If you would take time to think about God, you know what you do then? You enter into the conscious presence of God. And as you consciously enter into the presence of God, it opens up this thought, you know, he is God, he is good, he loves me. And we've been looking at it over the last 5 weeks. There are so many different things that we can praise him for. And Psalms 100 and Psalms 105, Psalms 103, Psalms 107, these are just fantastic passages of scriptures. But the whole point is we are thinking and we are considering and we are praising the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If we would learn to praise the Lord, and it says for his goodness. There's power in praise. Praise brings God near to our consciousness. Now, yes, God is always near. He's always with us, but we're not always very conscious of his presence. You think about it. How many hours, days, moments sometimes slip by without us even thinking about the Lord? And I know and I understand that we're busy and I understand we have lots of things going on. But when we praise the Lord, it makes us conscious of his presence. We realize that he is near. We realize that he is someone we should serve. It gives us a proper perspective in our lives. When we are facing a trial, an issue, and a problem, sometimes it seems so big, and sometimes it seems so giant, and sometimes it seems so overwhelming that I would never even consider, as it says in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things. There's no way I can thank God for that, is what I would think. But when I put that situation and that problem and that issue up against a great and mighty and holy God that can do all things and that can take compared to that problem's minuscule. It's little. One of the Psalms that talked about how his mercy endureth forever over and over in the Psalms. And it begins talking about how Israel was delivered. And he talked about how they were taken out of Egypt and how God parted the Red Sea. And you can see how big God is and how the Israel had so many issues and so many problems, but they had a God that could deliver them from those problems. So the point is, praise gives us a proper perspective. And when we're focusing on the things of this world, you know what happens? We're not going to want to give thanks always for all things. But when we realize who God is and we understand who God is, we can giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now, it says in Psalms 102, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. As we praise the Lord for his goodness, it's actually going to help us enter into that door. Praise opens the door to where we can commune with the Lord. another thing that praise does, and it was probably one of my favorite thoughts this past, in these Wednesday nights, is it's found in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 4. It says, or despises thou the riches of his goodness or forbearance and longsuffering. Now listen to this last phrase. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You think about that. The goodness of God, if we remember how good God is, you know what that's going to do? That's going to want us make us be right with him. Now, people think about this when it comes to salvation, and it's an important thing. It's the goodness of the Lord. God so loved the world, he loved us. The world is sinners. The world is lost. They're headed to a horrible place called hell. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believeth in him. It's the goodness of God because he loved us. He was willing to give his son to die for the sins of mankind. And when we hear the story of God's goodness and we understand our sin and that we're sinners and that we're lost and we need a savior and that we're lost forever and headed to a horrible place called hell, we consider the goodness of God. Someone confronted us with their sin. You know, the wages of sin is death. Meaning that you're going to die and lost and be separated from God forever. But God saw your need, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, while we were in a bad spot, headed to a horrible place called hell, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt for us. When you hear that story, when you believe in that story, and by faith, you put your faith and trust in him, it's the goodness of God that led you there. Now, the wickedness of our sin is what helps us understand that we need the goodness of God. The wickedness of our sin is what helps us repent and helps us say, I don't want to live like this. I want to put my faith and trust and I want to turn to the Lord. That's what helps us. But it's the goodness of God that shows us and tells us the story, and it's the greatest story has ever been told. And that's, I know that's the title for our Christmas program, but it really is. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the goodness of God that brought us to the spot that we realize we're sinners and that God loved us so much that we wouldn't need to be saved. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about being saved, or Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. Understand what the Bible teaches us about our sin. Because we're all sinners, we're all lost. We're all headed to a horrible place called hell to pay for our sin debt for all of eternity. But God loved us so much that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. And so that leads us to that repentance. Now, you say, well, that's wonderful. That's salvation. I'm already past that. I'm saved. But it's not just for salvation. Think about it for application in your own Christian life. If you remember how good God is and you remember all the things he's done, if you take the time to count your blessings, you take the time to remember what he has saved me from and what he has given me, there are so many different things as we've broken down, and I encourage the church, and many of the times on Wednesday nights we're going through and giving them encouragements and telling them different things to help them get ready for Thanksgiving. But I says, make a list. Start off with the list talking about the goodness of God. Write down one thing a day. Write down something that is the goodness of the Lord, something you did not deserve. Then also in Psalms, it talks about not only the goodness of the Lord, but also the mercy of God. One thing God has held back in your life that you truly deserve, but it was something that God said, hey, I'm not going to make you experience that. And then also the truth that endure for all generations. And it talked about the truths that God teaches us. I don't know how exciting it is in different things in your life, but when God teaches me a truth out of God's word, it's wonderful things. And I should count that as a blessing. God's speaking to my heart. God's given me his word. And I encourage him in those three different categories, begin writing a list down each and every day. Why would you do that? It's because your heart's focus. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord. You're going to realize he has delivered me from all my afflictions. You're going to realize that he's healed me from all my diseases. See, you're going to realize he's provided for me. You're going to realize all those things. And when we understand the goodness of God, we're not going to mess around with that sin. And so when it comes to a Christian's life, a believer's life, the Bible talks about what repentance looks like. It means forsaking and confessing and forsaking. Is that when I see how good God is to me and what all the wonderful things, and I keep to the forefront of my mind that God loves me and that God can work all things together for good and that there is a God, that's how I can, in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, because God is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. If we would remember his goodness, our sin is not going to look so attractive. Our sin is not going to have such a draw. Our sin is not going to have such a pull in our life. We're not going to be focused on those things. Instead, we will not lose, as Brother Smart was talking about this morning, we will not lose or tremble. We will not say that that sin is more important in my relationship with God. But we forget the goodness of God. We forget all the blessings he's provided for us. Sometimes things seem hard and sometimes things seem dark. And over here, if we would learn that it's the goodness of God that will keep us away from that sin. This morning, we don't like harming people who are good to us. Those are people many times we do not want to discourage. And Brother Smart mentioned something about the fear of the Lord, and that is that reverence, that respect. I love him so much. I do not want to do anything that would disappoint him. I do not want to do anything that would fail him. I do not want to do anything that would be discouraging to God. And that's when we begin to say, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge. I've been convicted when I'm not very convicted when I forget the goodness of God. But when I dwell in the goodness of God, I it's something that the Lord reminds me that God is good, and I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to continue to do things that fly in the face of God. I don't want to consciously sin in God's presence. It's because he's been good to me, and I love him, and I want to do those things that are right. It's the goodness of God that leads us there. So that's what I'm trying to, the point is, when it comes to our praise, it puts us in the right perspective. It brings the fact that God, we're consciously in the presence of God, but also brings to our consciousness there is a God. And if God is good, and all the things he's done for us is something we remember, and we're not going to want to have that sin. But it's very dangerous to forget about the goodness of God. Not just because forgetting to praise God, but when we stop focusing on the goodness of God, it leads us to a very dangerous place. When we begin to be ungrateful for God's goodness, it leads us to evil. When we fail to realize how good God has been to us, that is when the garden of wicked thoughts and wicked ideas begin to grow. That is why gratitude will help you be right with God, but also will help you stay right with God. If we will have a thankful heart. And remember all the blessings he's done for us. Forget not his benefits. When we fail to be a grateful people, it means that we do not have God in his rightful place. When we can purposely sin and know God is present and know that God can see it and could care less, I love my sin more than I love God, God's not in his right spot. You say, well, how in the world do I get to that right spot? Begin to praise the Lord. Begin to study the Lord, his word. Begin to understand the truths that are found in there, that that we can call him Father. And that there are so many wonderful, powerful truths. But the Bible even says in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. When did their foolish hearts become darkened? Is when they stopped considering who God was. It was then when they learned that they knew who God was, but they didn't glorify him to God. They were not praising him. And because of that, they became unthankful. If God has his rightful place in your life, gratitude is the heart of every good thing in your life. You'll realize that gratitude, what God has done, is every good thing. Every perfect thing comes above. But the reverse is true. Ingratitude is a heart for every evil thing. We live in a thankless generation. We live in a day that people expect and say, I deserve this and I'm owed this and you better give me this or I'm going to be angry. You better listen to me and you better do this and you do that. And there's so much anger out there and there's so much unthankfulness. In 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And that list of what the end times is going to be looking like, it says this word, unthankful. We live in an ungrateful culture. Ingratitude is evident of what's in our hearts, but many times it's grown into our homes. And unfortunately, many times it's even come into our churches. You think about it. Eve, when Eve sinned, when the devil tricked Eve into sinning, how did it all begin? Satan became to Eve, and what did he do? He began to question the goodness of God. did God really say that? Yea, hath God said, you know, did God mean it? And then he says, look, he's withholding something from you. When you eat of that fruit, you know what's going to happen? Your eyes are going to be open. Your life is going to be better. It's when we begin to question the goodness of God is when we begin to allow the things in our lives to go astray. The goodness of God that gets our attention. It's the goodness of God that melts our hearts. It's the goodness of God as if he's waiting for you with his open arms. You think about the story about the prodigal son. He's sitting there and he's in the hog pen. And what is he doing? He's there and he's miserable. And he begins to think about what? The goodness of the father that's at home. When he began to think of the goodness of the father, you know what? He says, I need to get back to my father. And it was the idea that he was miserable. He became, why is he in that pigsty? It's because he became ungrateful. He became unthankful. He became selfish. He goes to his father and says, give me what I have coming to me. And he didn't care about his father. He didn't care about his father's goodness. He didn't care about those things. And it's a picture of those that are away from the father because they've forgotten what? The father's good. And when the prodigal son came to himself, says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish of hunger. I remember how good God was. He says, he's saying, I remember how good the Father was. And that Father is a representation of our Heavenly Father. And he says, that's the goodness of the Lord. If we focus on the goodness of the Lord, you know what's going to happen? As you see in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. We can live it out with praise. There is a power in praise. It gives us the right focus. It gives us the right perspective. And it's because I'm focusing on the goodness of the Lord. It comes naturally. As you begin to think on him and focus on him, you can't be complaining and praising at the same time. You can't be grumbling and complaining and thankful at the same time. It just doesn't work. So let's break down this verse very quickly. It's first thing you see here in verse number 20, it says giving is the action of thanks. It is an action. It's giving thanks. You give thanks to God. You give thanks. It doesn't say that thanks is something you have, but it's something is you give. It's an action. Sometimes we meet people that grumble. Sometimes we meet people that complain. And if we press them, they would say, of course, I'm thankful. The problem is our mouth reveals what's really in our hearts. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we truly say, I'm a thankful person, and I know that's what we would say, I'm a thankful person. I asked this question in the first day of our series was, if you're a thankful person, when's the last time you thanked the Lord? When's the last time you took time? I'm not talking about, well, I did last night when I ate dinner. Or I did it yesterday for lunch. I'm saying specifically, if you're thankful, if we have resonated, the only time we ever thank the Lord or praise the Lord is at our meal times, that's not really a thankful person. Yes, I get it. We're thankful during that, but there's got to be more to that. When's the last time you took time to just thank the Lord for his many blessings? Or just even, Lord, thank you for saving me. Not just saving me, but there's such a long list. And we say we're thankful people, but when's the last time that our speech showed that? When is the last time that people would turn around and say, you know, that's a thankful person? When's the last time that we truly thank someone else from our heart for what we've done? And I'm not talking about some just passive thing. I'm talking about with our heart, meaning what was done. I'm truly thankful and I'm grateful. And if you're a thankful person, that should be a natural thing that flows out of us. And I tell you, as the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, it will be a natural thing. Look what it says in verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. You notice there in verse number 18, you have a semicolon. Verse number 19, you have a semicolon. Verse number 20, you have a semicolon. Verse 21, you have a period. It's all the same thought. It's all the same paragraph. It all ties together. If you truly want to be able to give thanks at all times and all things, we must learn it's an action that comes from God. It comes from being filled with the Spirit of God. And as you're talking to yourselves in psalms and you're talking to yourselves in hymns and you're talking to yourself, you're a joyful Christian. You're a singing Christian. That's what's connected there. And it's all going to come down to I'm going to be able to give thanks at all times and all things. So giving is an action. If we truly are thankful, it will come out naturally. Our speech will betray us. Think about Peter when he was sitting around the fire pit. It said that his speech betrayed him when he was talking about the reason that he was unlike everyone else. I wonder what our speech says about us. Does it betray us in the fact that we're thankful and that we're Christ-like? Or does it say there's something wrong with his heart? There's something going on in here that needs to be fixed. Not only do we see that giving is an action of thanks, but also always is a duration of thanks. It says here, giving thanks always. All through time and all through eternity, this is something we should be doing. It's giving thanks. You think about, what is the angels doing right now? They're praising the Lord. They're giving thanks. What do you think we'll be doing for all eternity? I know there's different discussions. Oh, we're going to be doing this in the millennial kingdom. But no matter what it is that we're doing, we're going to be praising the Lord for all eternity. We should get in on it now. The Bible even says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Maybe what you're going through is not good, but you know what? God is always good. You can always give thanks for God because of the fact he can take those things, that is that problem, that insurmountable thing, and he can make it work together for good. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. God has an amazing way of taking something that people think is evil at first glance and working it out to good. You think about the persecution against the disciples. It was a horrible thing, but it spread the gospel out. Think about Joseph being sold to Potiphar. It seemed like it was horrible, but God worked that out, that where he saved many people's lives. And Joseph even said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We can give thanks always, even when the situation seems to be tough. So giving is the action of thanks, and always is a duration of thanks. Then you think about, for all things is the motivation of thanks. We sometimes get the idea that things we like and enjoy make us comfortable. Those are all the things we can give thanks for. But many times those things that we like and enjoy and are comfortable, they don't drive us to God. It's usually the things that are hard and those things that are difficult that causes us to be closer to him, causes us to come to this point and say, I need God. If everything's easy and everything's wonderful, yes, we might passively say, yeah, thank you, Lord, everything's good. But it's when things are going wrong, when things are going bad, you say, well, how can I give thanks in all things? Is because it motivates us to do what? It motivates us to get close to God. It motivates us to seek after him. It motivates us to remind us of the goodness of the Lord, to help us keep us from that sin. When things are going wonderful and perfect, and people usually aren't seeking the Lord. But when times get hard and times get tough, well, where should we turn? We turn to the Lord. Even in the hard things, it reminds me of how difficult life would be apart from God. If times are hard and tough and I don't have a God to go to, where would we be? Even the difficult things should drive me back to God. That's always good. Even the things you struggle with and those things that stress you out, even those things that bring you low, you can always give thanks for God humbling you. One preacher put it this way, anything that humbles you and takes you back to God, you should give thanks for. And it's not always easy to give thanks for something that humbles us. It's not always easy to, our pride is in the way, because being humble is something that many of us struggle with. Pride is something we all deal with. But if something humbles us, even though the situation might not be the greatest, we should give thanks because it drew us back to God. Some way God is using whatever it is in your life to bring you closer to God. So no matter what you're going through, good or bad, let that drive you back to him. Don't sit there and say, well, I can't be right because this person is treating me bad. This situation is just wrong. And sometimes people use that excuse and they begin to question God. And that's what I'm saying. The key that unlocks that door is when we take time to meditate and take time to praise. Take time, as the song says, count your blessings. See how good God has been. See how good God is going to be. And it changes the whole picture. We refocus and we have a different perspective. When we start to give God thanks, it reminds us how truly unthankful we are. It brings us to the realization that God has been so extremely good to us, and we often miss it. How often do we let our days just come and go and never even think of God, never even to praise him for the things he's done for us? Every day, all around us, we miss the goodness of God. And if we would remember, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. If we remember how it's the goodness of God that will help us to stay clean, and want to be clean. So why is it that we tend to remember all the bad things? Why is it that we tend to remember and focus on the 2% that is negative, or the 2% that, and forget about all the blessing God has? Let's keep on going. Unto God, it talks about the direction of thanks. We want to remember who we're being thankful to. We're teaching young people to be thankful. When we say, what do you say to when someone gives you a gift? You say, what do you say? Thank you. It's because of the fact you want to teach them direction, teach them who to be thankful to. Remember the chapter that we're in. You think about it. In this chapter, it's talking about submission for the, it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. It talks about wives submitting unto your husband. It talks about husbands submitting unto the wives, submitting unto the needs of the wives and loving the wife. It talks about children obeying their parents and children honoring their parents. Most people would consider this chapter very, very difficult to live by. And we do need the Holy Spirit's help, like it talks about in verse number 18. But at the same time, it talks about submitting yourselves one another to God. Who does that in the fear of the Lord? A person that's able to give thanks unto God. Doesn't go first to man. You learn to praise the Lord and be thankful to God. It's going to naturally come out of you. It's something that's naturally going to happen. As you learn to praise the Lord, it's going to begin to overflow your heart. And as it overflows your heart, it's going to naturally come out and naturally happen. And then you see, and the Father. And I love this too. We didn't read it too much farther here in verse number 20. He says, unto God and the Father. The relationship with our thanks. Who is God? He's our Father. We should come to him as a Father. We should give thanks to him. We realize he's a good Father. And one of those great Psalms in Psalms 103, verse 13, says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, there's so many blessings, so many things that go along with the fear of the Lord. And last but not least in this verse, it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a recognition of our thanks. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus deserves it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Through Jesus' name we have authority. Through Jesus' name we have access. We're coming based off of Jesus' credit, what Jesus has done. And boy, we should praise him for that. So when you consider the context of these verses, what does it look like to live a life that's full of thanksgiving? Look what it says in verse number 14. We're going to go through these very quickly. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So responding to the fact that if we're thankful, if we're a thankful person, we won't be sleeping through what God has for us. There's many people who sleep through this world, sleep through things spiritually. Why is that? Because they forget the goodness of God. If we realize how good God's been to us, our natural response should be, what can I do for you? If I see how much he loves me, if I see all he's done for me, if I see how he's the one that can bless me, if I see all those things, our response should be, God, you've been so good to me. What can I do to you? But many of us forget about the goodness of God, and we're sleeping through what he desires for us to do. Look what it says in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If you're truly going to be thankful, you're going to realize the blessings of God that has been given to you is something that is a privilege, and you do not want to waste them. We should walk circumspectly. He's given us time. He's given us talent. He's given us treasure. He's given us truth. He's giving us all those things. He's been such a blessing to us. Now, walk circumspectly. Don't be foolish with it. I remember sometimes when people would give us a gift, or maybe, you know, as a child, didn't have a lot, somebody maybe gave us a dollar to myself and my brother and my sister. And for me, I'm the young person that wants to go to the store and spend the whole dollar, or at least 90 cents of the dollar on candy. And I'll be generous. I'll pass it out and do different things because if I have money in my pocket, I got to spend it. Back then, that's the way I looked at things. Now, that was foolish because I didn't get a dollar very often. And there were times when I really wanted things and I couldn't have them because I had no money. Now, my brother was a little bit smarter than me. He was a little bit older than me. He would take that money and he would save it. He would save his change. When I got a penny or a quarter, you know what I'm going for? I'm going to the gumball machine. And I'm twisting that and I'm getting the gumball out. I'm getting those little toys that came in those little plastic containers that were super hard to open for a quarter. I'm doing all those things, or I'm going to put the quarter in the claw machine to see whether or not I can pick up a stuffed animal or something like that. I'm wasting my money. And sometimes I believe that because we're not thankful for all the things that God's provided for us, we are just wasting the opportunities given for us. That's why he says, don't be foolish with the things he's given us, but wise. It says, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make sure you make good use of your time. A person who is thankful is going to see the value in what they have received, and they're going to redeem it because, and there's a reason, because the days are evil. We have to learn how to understand the days we live in. There are people who need the Lord. Look what it says in verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, don't be foolish. If you would understand the goodness of the Lord, and you allow this to open up the idea of praising him, focusing on him, thinking on him, all those different things, we're going to understand what his will is. What's his will? Well, we learned always giving thanks always for all things. In 1 Thessalonians, to talk about, and all things give thanks. So remember, understanding what the Lord is, and then it continues on, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I know it's an illustration we use often, but I think it's a good one. But you think about it, a person who's drunk is no longer in control of themselves. I used to work at Rite Aid when I was in Bible college, 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning. And some of those people that came in at 6 o'clock in the morning, business people on their way to work, buying a drink, maybe something else, nice, kind. Some of those same people on Saturday morning at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning would come in because they lived nearby and they were drunk. They were no longer acting the way they normally would. They were under a different influence. Before, they were under their own influence. They were kind. They were nice. But at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, they're walking in and they're loud and they're obnoxious and they're causing problems and things like that. So what's the difference? They're under a different control. If we're truly ever going to learn how to be thankful, as it says, giving thanks always for all things, the key is found in verse 18. We have to give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit means that he's the one making decisions for us, that he's the one controlling us. And no longer are we under our own influence, we're under God's influence. And when a person does that, look what it says in verse number 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I mean, there is a rejoicingness. There's a happiness. There is a singing Christian is speaking to yourselves as someone who has joy in their heart and joy in their life. Where does that come from? A person that's filled with the Spirit of God. That is when we can look at this verse 20 and say, giving thanks always for all things unto God. So how in the world can a person give thanks always for all things unto God? It's when we learn about the goodness of the Lord. We realize that no matter what's happening in my life, God is good, God sees what's happening, and I can rejoice and I can give thanks unto God because God can take whatever that situation is and he can turn it into good. Other people think it meaning wickedness towards it. Other people think meaning evil towards it. Other people would try their best to stamp out Christianity. In the New Testament, you see it happen, persecution after persecution after persecution. And all it did was grow, grow, and grow. Why is that? Because of the fact that God could take that persecution and turn it to good. So I don't know what your relationships look like. I don't know what you're unthankful for today. But the Bible says here, giving thanks always for all things unto God. And I know I try to jam a lot of things in just one message, and we're almost done. But today, would you consider yourself a thankful person? If so, when's the last time you said thank you? And I'm not even talking about people, because I know people do it differently. Some generations, they write thank you notes. Some generations, they do text message. Some generations just say it. Some generations don't even say anything. They just think that's normal. I don't think they're trying to be rude, but at the same time, it's just different ways people have been taught. But when's the last time you thanked the Lord? And if we truly are overwhelmed with the Lord's goodness, overwhelmed with the Lord's love, you know what? It's going to come out naturally. I love the Lord. There's a few people in our church that really encourage me with their spirits. And I don't think it's a show. I don't think it's a gimmick. But I hear people, there's a few that say, praise the Lord. And they're thankful for the Lord and different things. Like it comes out naturally. I know people have different personalities. Some people are more outspoken than others. It will come out in our speech. It will come out in our appearance. It will come out in our hearts and our lives because what's in our heart comes out naturally. So today, giving thanks always for all things unto God. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. Let us take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. And we're not going to make you say anything. We're not going to force you to do anything. If you're a man will take you in the back, take you to a room, open up a Bible, open up maybe a gospel track, and sit there and say, this is what the Bible says. If you're a lady, same thing. A lady take you in the back and sit down with you. Take as long as you need to discuss with you what the Bible says, that we're all sinners, we're all in need of a Savior, and that God was so good to us, He provided a way of salvation. And to the rest of us in the room that are believers, and I've heard many of your testimonies, so I know that you are believers, are we truly thankful people? We began this 5 weeks ago, but has it really affected our hearts? Has the Word of God truly made us more thankful? Have we begun praising Him more? Have we begun being more thankful for Him? Have we done this? This past Wednesday night, we talked about who are we thankful for. And we talked about the different people that God's brought into our lives and who we should be thankful for. And even suggesting writing a note. If God spoke to your heart, did you respond to that? Because I think most people in independent Baptist churches would say, of course I'm thankful. Do you show it? Because if we truly are thankful, it's going to show. It's going to come out. It has to, like it naturally would, if we're filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray.